Franklin, they want answers, so too do other people in footy. As I welcome Terry Wallace to the show today, I also welcome North Melbourne Chairman James Brayshaw, a man who's been publicly vocal, Terry, for a long time now about the financial concessions that go the Sydney Swans' way, mainly the 9.8% cost of living allowance.
I don't think he's the only one.
He's not the only one.
Good afternoon, but there will be plenty, I think, just calling out for blood.
Yeah, JB, look, thank you for joining us. We know you've got your own program to prepare for today, but now you've had 24 hours to absorb the Buddy Franklin news. Does it still rankle you that this footy club can secure for the second consecutive year the biggest name available in this trade period?
Hello, Damo and Plough. Very nice to be speaking to you. Largely ignored by Trade Radio up until this period, which is another issue. I think that's something I need to speak to management about.
That might be a good thing, James.
Well, no, you're superstars, baby, you two. Listen, it's not, I don't have an issue. I said this to Damo off air yesterday. My issue is not Buddy Franklin or Liam Pickering. I very strongly advocate that players and their managers should be able to drive as hard a bargain as they can, and that's all they're doing. So, got no criticism either of those two gentlemen. My issue is with the ongoing COLA allowance and priority picks, which we've spent a lot of time talking about over the last 6 to 8 weeks. My issue with both of them is that neither should exist. We must have this competition platform, one that exists around each club having the same amount of money to spend on their players and the same amount of access to the draft, depending on where you finish on the ladder. And the sooner we can get to that position, the better. There's no point trying to equalise the competition until we have those key platforms sorted out.
JB, I can read it this way, though, that effectively what the Swans have done with this announcement for Buddy Franklin over 9 years is that there is going to be some form of COLA in their salary cap, at least for one player at least, for 9 more years.
Well, look, I don't know the details of that, Damo, to be brutally honest, and I don't like to speculate on things I'm not aware of the minor detail. I know that the living away from home allowance or the cost of living allowance is being put up on the hoist, if you like, by the AFL as we speak. So whether this is a preemptive strike, who would know? I hope that the AFL have got the strength to turn around and go, regardless of what you're doing with any individual player's contract, this is what we're doing with your living allowance. And, we're not going to be budged on that. So I can't see how they would allow one deal to derail what they plan to do with a whole, allowance portfolio for both Sydney and Greater West Sydney, to be honest.
James, did you get the sense that the Swans might have believed that the COLA agreement was coming towards an end and that's why they've gone so hard over the last couple of years?
Look, I know there's been a lot of speculation around that, Terry. As I say, I don't like to speculate on what other clubs are doing because, you know, I don't like it when people do that with North Melbourne. So I don't know the details of what Sydney have done on this particular deal. And I'm very careful when I'm commenting on this not to link it to this particular deal. I have a much larger philosophical issue with, you know, two clubs receiving more money to pay their players than anyone else. We've borrowed from the NFL for this AFL competition model. I'm a huge fan of the NFL, as Damo knows. I think it's one of the best-run competitions in the world. And I applaud the fact that we do borrow from them because I think it gives every club a chance to be successful. But and the analogy I use regularly is it's a lot more expensive, Damo, to live in New York than Cleveland, as you and I know. And yet Cleveland get the same amount to spend on their players. So why have we got this anomaly in our competition? I just don't understand it. I never have. And never will.
Joby, I understand you're reluctant to actually buy into the $10 million 9 year component to the Buddy Franklin offer, but it is official. Andrew Ireland, the CEO of the Swans, has admitted that it is a 9 year deal. As a chairman of a footy club, could you ever envisage offering a 26 year old to turn 27 by the time next football season starts a 9 year deal?
No, it's not something we would do. Our view of big key forwards, and we've got a wonderful big key forward in Drew Petrie. He's in the time of this deal he's on now, he's going to turn, 31 or something like that. And, you've got a question over the last 25 years, big power forwards, how much footy do they play beyond that? Really good footy. I mean, look at the greatest ever, Wayne Carey, Dermot Brereton, John O'Brown now at his age and stage. I'm not telling Plough anything he doesn't know. I mean, the attrition rate in that position is high.
Does it raise eyebrows to you that they've gone to 9 years?
Oh, look, do what you like. I mean, it's their footy club. They can do what they like.
Yep.
Well, my view of it at our club would be I would never do it because, you know, the future administration, I'd be well and truly gone by then. Yep. The future administration would turn around saying, who the hell's done this deal? We've got a player that we've got to pay for another 4 years who can't play for us. You know, I mean, that would be why we wouldn't do it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying Buddy Franklin's not an attractive player to get to your club. He is. You know, we all know how good he is and could potentially be for the Swans or the Giants or anyone else. But, you know, I mean, history tells us that players of that size playing in that position aren't great at 36.
Mm. Does it frustrate you at all, James? I mean, you guys are outside of the eight, but really with an opportunity of having a crack against the very, very best sides in the competition. Is there any sense of frustration for those teams that are, you know, that are challenging for a flag or potentially ready to challenge for a flag that this continues to happen?
There's extra money. There is huge frustration. Yeah, I mean, we just don't believe there's any place for it. You know, North Melbourne, we always say, give us an equal playing field and we'll be better than the rest because we'll back our people and back our culture and, you know, back our club. But when you've got $1 million extra going to two other teams, then, you know, it's not a level playing field. And this is all we've ever said, player, and I know, you know, it's something you're very aware of. It's, you know, $1 million to spread across 40 players is an enormous amount of money.
Yep.
And, you know, what you can do with that $1 million is extraordinary. So, you know, as I say, if everyone's got the same money and the same access to the draft, then bring it on. But, you know, if you're giving two teams extra money, then that's, in my view, just patently not fair, archaic, and it's got to go really quickly.
JB, now you've got to go and prepare for your own radio program, Rush Hour, in a few moments' time. Make this the last one. Ideal world scenario, and if you're in charge of the AFL Commission, which meets soon to close off on the 2013 year, what needs to be done on this cost of living allowance and equalisation?
Well, it needs to be abolished immediately, in my view. From 2014 onwards, it can't exist. We also need to be very transparent around priority picks. So, you know, you hold on to them at commission level for, you know, let's say, you know, God forbid, you know, a horrible instance where a plane goes down or, you know, multiple players aren't available for a club for those sort of horrendous reasons. Then the AFL Commission must have the, you know, ability to turn around and say, well, okay, we now have to do something special to very quickly rebuild the playing list of this club. So we understand why, you know, they need to be held for those reasons. But outside of that, they don't exist. So if for me, the Commission's got to turn around and say, under no circumstances will we ever reward on-field mediocrity with priority picks.
Yep.
That's gone. And every club from 2014 onwards gets the same amount of money to spend on their players.
It's pretty simple.
I think it's very simple. And once you've done that, equalise the competition. Make sure everyone's got enough to be competitive and away we go. We've got the greatest game in this country. But I think there are a couple of handbrakes on it at the moment that have to be fixed and fixed quickly.
Yep. I know you're very passionate about this topic. That's why we got you on today. And I'm glad there's some support around what you say at this level publicly now. I mean, yourself and Eddie Maguire have been on it for some time and you're getting some support now from Peter Gordon and others. And, I think change is afoot. But maybe I don't see it happening this year for what it's worth, but at least the discussions around it will put pressure on it.
Well, let's hope so. Good on you, boys. Great chatting to you.
Thanks, JB.